Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, is there a duality operating that you can identify? Your assignment, rearrange the voices on two sides of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side? Record and listen. Example, one side. I should look at this because there's so much resistance to looking. Good student. Second side, you don't have to practice with this. Skip this month, private. So here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Celia in Seattle.
Hello, Celia.
So I had an interesting experience with this where I had a one personality is voracious. And the other side of that is a nice girl who doesn't have any needs.
And nice girls don't, do they?
No, no.
No.
Sweet. And I went through something where I was looking at this couple, and they seemed to be more like one than the other dualities I was looking at. The other one seemed kind of clearly on one side or the other, but this one was like a chameleon kind of, and it was like the voracious one had a mask of a nice girl. So it was almost like this was the same character. And it became a little confusing for me. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, first of all. Let's start there. And what occurs to me is that, so people often get very confused about aspects of the personality or aspects of ego, because we'll talk about a young person, right? And so that seems like, well, that would be authentically me, right? No, it's a young part of ego. It's ego's, how ego gets established at a particular age. And then, I suspect, what you're dealing with is when ego gets strong enough, big enough, well established enough to begin to take over the whole personality. Are you with me so far? Okay.
Yeah, I'm watching.
And at that point, what begins to happen is the sort of game that you're looking at, where ego will pretend. So there's whatever happened to you at age 5 and whatever trauma there was and how that got established, got bedded into your personality, right? But then by the time you're an adult, ego is able to use that young perspective to its advantage.
So. Okay, because as I was looking at this, it seemed to me that this was a, so I thought, well, where, so what else? What else? And what I came up with was somebody very, very, very young, like, you know, the 3-4 age range.
Yes.
I wasn't seeing, well, how that, So what you're saying is very interesting, because it did seem like this character, this voracious nice girl, was just sort of a playing back and forth and kind of, now you see me, now you don't.
Yes, which is the clue for us that this is, there's no innocence here. Right?
Even the small 3 or 4 year old isn't innocent.
Well, or
is that what you mean?
No, I would ask you to look and see if that young person is being used, the experience of that young person. So, for instance, my father used to go crazy and scream and yell and terrify me when I was three, right? Well, after, you know, as I grow up, that trauma morphs and is increasingly used by ego to manipulate circumstances. So now every time somebody yells, I get terrified and I'm as if I were three, right? But it's not the trauma of the three-year-old. It's trauma of the three-year-old that's being used as an excuse for behaviors and attitudes that serve ego as we go through life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe just to watch for that and see if you can get a sense of it. And that's why we talk about the person at the bottom of the well and why the two-handed recordings are so powerful. Because in a two-handed recording, you can talk with somebody who's actually very young, right? And get a sense of what's going on with that aspect of the personality, that aspect of ego. It's true, but it's a very sort of an innocent process of separation that's going on. So you'll hear from her, and then you'll be able to see more clearly when that older, more developed ego orientation comes in to try to use her experience to its benefit.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Good. Great. All right, well, keep an eye on it and let us know.
Okay, will do.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Julia. Two things struck me about that, Sherry. One is it's such a fascinating exploration. If we can turn our awareness inward and actually get so many of the nuances around our experience, right? So there's a person, and then it doesn't feel like two, it feels like one, and that's just so fascinating in itself. And the other thing that dropped in is something that you often demonstrate in the meditation hall with the bells as your props, right, in terms of the duality, that each side of the duality maintains, all it does is maintains an I, right? So I want to do this, I don't want to do this. The duality is where the focus of the attention is, the binary choices. But if we look from the outside in, what the duality maintains is a sense of self, because the I is the constant in both those choices. And so just an interesting perspective to Celia would be, it's not confusing in that sense, because the duality could happen to the same I, or it could happen to two different I's, or it doesn't necessarily mean there's an I in each side of the duality. It could be a duality for the same self.
And your point is, whatever is going on, where we want to keep a watch out of the corner of our eye is the ego that's being maintained with whatever we're supposed to be looking at.
Well, and yes, on top of that, if the attention goes to figuring it out, which is real, then ego has us on a different level because it has all our attention.
Yeah. While we noodle around in conditioned mind with it, which is what we don't want to do, which is why the recording and listening exercises are so powerful. It takes us out of that and into a direct experience or getting closer to a direct experience of someone who's actually a participant.
Yes, it takes us away from recognizing the structure of an ego process, right, where there's nothing resolved in a duality, and looking at ego doesn't resolve anything either.
Yeah. Mm. It's good. It's very big and subtle.
Yes, it is. All right, here's the next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, it's Jill in Philadelphia.
Hello, Jill.
Hi. Wow, that was a great first conversation. And so what I've been looking at this month is something that happens to me, excuse me, when I'm interacting with someone. Like suddenly my sexuality will just become, it feels like a part of the dynamic. And I mean, ego just freaks out. And my experience usually is it just shuts it down. Like it, I just go into like avoidance mode. and it just, it's a huge part of my suffering. And this happens, you know, when I'm flirting or when flirting emerges or when I'm just being charming, it will just, I mean, ego has a whole plan, around this. And, it's really,
I'm not laughing because I think it's not painful and that there isn't suffering in it, but it's just so perfect the way you laid it out.
Yeah.
That there you are, just, you're just being a nice, charming person. Right. And then there is whatever happens with a sexual, what, response or awareness or somehow.
A warmth, something, yeah.
Yes, yeah, something signals, well, there's more here than just talking about the weather with my neighbor. And then ego goes berserkers in its attempt to control everything about the experience.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, I think it's something that is very, you know, I think there's tons of movies about this particular experience, and, you know, it feels like a very common human experience, but the particular way that it works with me is pretty, yeah, I got to get very specific with the messages that it says and, you know, and the duality that I experience is, you know, between shame and pride, basically, which is, you know, the pride is like I have to maintain a certain dignity and, you know, don't let people take advantage of us and don't be vulnerable and, you know, definitely don't let anyone know how you feel or that you're feeling this. And then just the shame of you know, this, you know,
that
basically,
you did.
Yeah, that
you
I did.
You did feel it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and if you were the
exactly.
right person, that would simply never happen. And,
yes.
And what's so interesting about it, of course, is, well, you just happen to be a human being. And sexuality is just happens to be a big part of the human experience.
Yes.
Right? It is as if somebody were ashamed, and people are actually ashamed about how much they do or don't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are ashamed of how much they do or do not eat, right? So many things that are just a part of us being human get turned by ego into a statement about us and whether or not we are the right or wrong person.
Yes, exactly, and also what it means for the future. Like
yes.
This, I guess I'm stuck, like trapped in this obsession about this person, and are we going to have an affair? Like where is this going? And you know, all of this when it can just be a moment. I mean, that's what has been so great about looking at this, and just through my own practice in the past couple of years, just seeing like, okay, it's like anything. It just comes and it goes. It's not like.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and let me just underline that, okay, because that's so important. Everything in life just comes and goes.
Yeah.
Right? It's ego that clings
yes.
and pushes away and obsesses and all
mm-hmm.
of that. And, you know, Jill, it reminds me of another piece of this that I think is so much a part of people's conditioning, which is you are not allowed to feel something because it means you will do something.
Yes. Right on.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, yeah, so you cannot acknowledge that you find somebody attractive because you have to have an affair with them. I mean,
right.
it's just inevitable. And so what that means is we walk around unable to have a lot of feelings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a big part of how we navigate in the world is looking at our response to whatever. And if we can't have that, talk about vulnerable.
I know. And, you know, I think, you know, it for me, in all the messaging I've gotten as a woman, and that, you know, you have to make sure that you're not giving off the wrong signal, and, you know, all of that stuff comes into that of basically, yeah, exactly what you're saying, this campaign to just don't feel this.
Yeah, shut it down.
It's not safe. It's not safe.
Yeah.
Don't feel it.
Yeah, it's not safe for you on any level.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and of course it's not safe for ego, because the reality is you are an intelligent human being, and so you can probably feel warm toward another human being and not sacrifice your well-being.
Right, and not worry that they're going to stalk me, you know,
right.
Like, or follow me home,
yeah.
You know,
or have to hope that they stalk you.
Exactly.
Oh dear, we're not even supposed to kid about things like that, are we? Yeah.
Well, I know what you're saying, though, that there's just that, you know, it's this the whole duality of ego that, you know,
yeah.
I want it, I don't want it. I want it all. I don't,
right.
You know, why isn't this person
yeah.
obsessed with me? And then as soon as they are, you're like, oh, wait a minute, that's not what, you know, ego was
right.
promising
right.
this was going to be like. It's just such a, yeah, this is such a rich place to look, and it's just an intersection of all sorts of ego's junk that I just feel like I'm seeing and seeing.
Good. Yeah, good. And we have permission, right? In most of the rest of life, we don't have permission to look at this with this kind of depth. So it's wonderful to have.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Jill.
So wonderful. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Bye. And thanks, Jill. Sherry, I think the part that that most resonated for me, and I think is worth underlining is that place of, just because I experience something, I don't have to necessarily act from it.
Yes.
Gosh,
it's the freedom, if we can just get that. You know, I can, if we take it into another area, you know, I can look at that giant piece of chocolate cake dripping that chocolate icing, and I can see it is a work of art. Doesn't mean I need to eat it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and that's what self-hate is, right? There's a negation.
Well, darn. You're going in and out. There's a negation.
Of the life force. Because life is vital. It is. It is sexual. It is sensual. It has feelings, right? I mean, not to acknowledge that is a denial of life, and that's where the self-hating negation is.
Yes.
And then
there's
a second denial, because life is intelligent. It acts from a place of appropriateness, and just because we may not be skillful yet acting from it, it doesn't.
Ashwini, you're breaking up so badly at this point, I can't follow you. I think you said life is intelligent, and it enables us to act appropriately, and then I lost you.
I'm going to try one more time. If not, I'll bring on another caller.
Okay.
And all I was saying is, so that's the second negation, a lack of intelligence. So a lack of feeling, a lack of intelligence. And there's a place where, as we are growing up, we just need to be taught to be more skillful at how we respond.
Yes.
But
yes.
the training is, the response is wrong, and you can't be trusted to respond appropriately, so you can't have the skill. Rather than, let's work on how to get you the skill.
Yeah. Yes. Which it is certainly puberty. I think for most people, different messages often for males and females, but the same state of, oh my God, I was one person and now I'm a completely different person, and I'm not getting a lot of positive reinforcement for this new me. So clearly there's something wrong here.
So let me bring on the next caller, Sherry. Here we go. Next caller.
All right. Thank you.
Please introduce yourself.
Hi, it's Anna from Seattle.
Hello, Anna.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Well, I just want to participate. I don't know. I have not been... What am I seeing? Let's see. So I haven't really been following the assignments, unfortunately, but I have been on the radio show. I mean, I have been listening to the recordings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
So has it been stirring up some stuff?
No, the thing is, I didn't even read the session focus. I just saw a sec. But the same thing with the other topics as well, because I'm not keen of reading, and I mean ego, I guess, isn't keen of reading. So I don't really always read all the things. Yeah.
Now, you know, my job is to encourage you to ditch that.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's ego having a huge amount of control over your life experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is good to see.
Yeah. but just about sexuality, so ego just really, you know, like a lot of self-hating messages about just the cleft palate that I was born
mm-hmm.
with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing, you know, that it's just a really vulnerable area, the mouth and just the face and kissing and that part. And then when I have, you know, some intimacy with another person, then basically, I think I would need like so much time, like to actually open up.
Mm-hmm.
But ego doesn't give me that time, and I don't know if any other person has like that kind of patience, you know. So basically, I kind of just go with emotions because there's like too much pressure, or ego puts like a lot of pressure onto me. Like time, you know, like that it would just require a lot of time, I think.
Well, there are a few things going on here, Anna. So the first one is you're not actually allowed to do the work that would assist you to be free of these situations, right? So it leaves you in self-hate about physical issues and all of that, you know, kissing and having surgery and all of those issues, right? So there's just self-hate about that, right? Because you just don't get to explore that. Then there's how you respond to intimacy, and you don't really get to explore that because, well, you don't get to explore anything, right? So then you're just left in inadequacy and probably self-hate. This is the bottom line, right? Always, for all of us, that our only intimate relationship is with ego/self-hate.
Yeah, I mean... My brain is just frozen up, you know, right now.
Yep. Of course it is. Of course it is. Of course it is. Ego does not want you to hear any of this. I'm shocked that you were actually able to call in, right? So it's just shut her down. Shut her down. Nope. She's not going to read about it. She's not going to listen to it. She's not going to anything. She just shut her down because the story is, this is what's wrong with her, and because that's what's wrong with her, then everything else is wrong in her life, and it's her fault. There.
Huh. Well, I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't really feel that way, but because I'm like transforming left and right in all directions, that's what
right.
It feels like.
That's exactly right. But in this situation, not so much.
Well, yeah. Even though I am, but I'm not very. The problem are the words, like the verbal aspect in my brain. It feels.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like putting things into words. But the transformation is happening, but it's not like in talking about the process and things. At least that's what it's telling me.
Yeah.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, I would just encourage you not to believe what it says. Okay? I'm going to encourage you. This will be a surprise, right? I'm going to encourage you to record the focus for the month and to listen to it and to record the assignments and do them and to do two-handed recordings with the parts of you who struggle over having been born with a cleft palate and who struggle with feeling like they need more time than people are willing to give. Okay? Get into some conversations with those aspects and see what's revealed. Yeah. Because if you're not allowed to use words, and the only words that you're allowed to interact with are inside your head, that makes us very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then let me know, all right?
Okay.
Because all this stuff about what happens in your brain and getting frozen and all that. We've talked about this before, and you know, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I see what you're able to accomplish. And if what that system is saying were true, you would be able to do what you're able to do. So this is a big barrier. And it really is time for you to get through it. And the talking with yourself is going to be the way through.
Yeah, and I moved yesterday out of my ex-boyfriend's basement apartment, and I got certified as an Eden Energy Medicine practitioner.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah. Now, you know, because nagging is what I do, okay? Just be really super heads up, because that system is going to try to take this away from you. So make those recordings about what you have accomplished and how that feels and how you've done it and what the success is and like that.
Yeah. When I wanted to pick up my recorder, it was empty yesterday. I have to get batteries right now.
Okay. That's another piece of evidence on my side, Anna. Okay. Get those batteries.
Yeah, it will.
All right. Good. And, again, congratulations. That's really huge.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Go happy.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, Ashwini, you are really gone.
Okay. Sherry, how's this?
Better. Very much better.
Okay. I was just going to say self-hate is an awful, it's just absolutely awful. And just poised on the moment of our success to take it away from us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and angling always to get us not to do what's good for us and to do what isn't. That's just, mm-hmm.
yeah.
It never wavers. I often think and say, if we had its tenacity, if we were as tenacious about freeing ourselves from it as it is tenacious about keeping us in bondage, it'd all be over for self-hate very quickly.
Yes, and I think that is why we want to call in and keep in touch with Sangha, because mm-hmm. there's a way in which our practice over time is witnessed and reflected, and mm-hmm. you can tell, Anna, it's not true, because
right.
her tenacity is what has caused her transformation so far,
right.
and we've all been witness to it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's what we say, right? A practice holds our heart when we're not able to.
Yes.
Or until we are able to.
Until we're able to, yeah. Well, until we're able to, and then again, because it's not like, we get to this point and, okay, that's it, home free. We still step in holes, and that's why we continue to need practice in one another.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. All right, Cherry, that brings us to the end of the show. And since I seem to be underwater, I'll just give us our assignment.
You sound pretty good now. So I don't know what you're doing now, but maybe the technology gods are just smiling here as we wrap things up.
Can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, if I look at my process, I will discover something terrible about me. If I don't look, I'm a bad Zen student. Assignment, what are the two choices the voices offer you?
All right. Very
All right.
good.
We'll talk
Thank
to everybody
you.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody. Go happy.
Take care.